Amen. Are you at 1 Peter? I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. It says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will. Whose will? It's God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking the rules. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Folks, here's a reason why we need to exercise our freedom by serving God and not breaking rules. Just before I came out, I got an email from one of our members up in Pennsylvania, one of our key people up there. And I went online. I took a moment to go online and verify it. But the guidelines for seating were reduced in Pennsylvania. It was 250. Now it's 25. The indoor seating capacity was lowered from 250 to 25. Why? Folks aren't following the rules. So we have to break the rules, especially those of us who are born-again believers. We have to always be found following the rules. There should have been no reason for them to have to go backwards. But we'll be there. Things are still going to go on. But I just wanted to highlight, we have to follow the rules. Doesn't say we have to like them. There are a lot of rules that I follow that I don't like. There are a lot of rules I follow that I don't agree with. But since no one asked me, and because it's the rule, it's the law, I have to abide by it. We all have to abide by it because it makes things better for all of us. So it says, exercise our freedom. We're free in Christ, but do that by serving God, not by breaking rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. Now, when we started out on Sunday, we were talking about how people are getting discouraged because it's been a while since everything started in early March. You know, you would think that by now everything would have passed. We'd be over. Things are back to normal. And it seems like it's starting to amp up again. And some folks are getting frustrated because they've been praying and fasting and anointing, walking around sprinkling holy water. I'm not saying that to mock anybody. I'm saying to say that's what some folks are doing because the virus is in the air, so they get holy water in the air, figuring that's going to kill the virus. But the point is, people are doing what they know to do, and it doesn't appear to be working, and they're getting frustrated. Well, first of all, if you read the Bible, especially reading the Old Testament, you'll find out that this isn't the first time something like this has happened. And just like God brought people through then, we can get through now, and we're in better condition than the Old Testament saints because we're in Christ. See, they weren't given the same power we have. Most of you know what one of my favorite scriptures is. Jesus gave us power to tread on snakes and scorpions, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And he said, nothing shall by any means harm us. The Old Testament saints didn't have that. But they still got through because they did have God on their side. We have God on our side. We have the Holy Ghost to direct us. We got the power given to us by Jesus himself. We're in much better shape and we're in a much better place. But even being in a much better shape, in much better shape and in a much better place, folks are still flustered by the events of the day. Folks, if you want to live during a time when we're going to have peace, when there's going to be no issues, You need to be here during a time when Satan is locked up for 1,000 years. Trust me, you really don't want to be here during that time. But as long as the devil is loose, there's going to be stuff. But while he's loose, we're here. We have the keys to the kingdom. So you don't have to be discouraged, but people are feeling discouraged. They're throwing up their hands. They're trying to figure out what happened. They're trying to figure out what they did wrong. And I shared with you Hebrews 10:35. Let's go there, 10:35 to 39. King James Version. And it reads, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. When do you receive the promise? After you've done the will of God. And then there's, God didn't say it will happen immediately. That's why he, the first thing he said was, you have need of patience. What God said will happen. What you've prayed for and concerning in faith will happen. It will. You have to be patient and wait for, and just wait for it. Verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. So again, if God is telling us we need patience, that's letting us know that things are not necessarily going to happen right away. If he tells us we need faith, that's letting us know we're going to say things and it's not going to look like it's true, and we're going to have to believe it's true anyway. So God is telling us we need patience, we need faith, we'll get through. We will get through, but we have to believe it, and we have to act like we believe it, and you act like you believe it by being able to wait. Just being able to wait. And I think the problem, as I was thinking about this, I'll say it this way. As I was thinking about this, as I always do, I look at things from all sorts of angles. And I was coming, I said, all right, what do I think is the real problem? What is it really? Because I think people do believe. I think people do have faith. I do. I endeavor to live by what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. I choose to believe the best of everybody. So I believe every single believer is operating in faith. They're operating in patience. But what I think happens or is happening is that we know we have to wait. But do you know how to wait? See, I think that's the problem. I think we don't know how to wait. I know you're wondering, what does that have to do with flame on you? I'll get there. Pastor Clinton wrote a song, You'll Take Care of Me, and that happens to be one of my favorite. And it's definitely the most meaningful of all the Christian songs I know. That was the first song I actually memorized and was during a time in my life when I really needed it. I was a brand new believer and stuff was happening and I was starting to think I was better off out in the world than I was in the kingdom. But that song, it starts out as, Father, we await just to hear your voice. As we've grown in grace and love, we've learned to make the choice to wait until direction comes, then let you lead the way. And we won't worry, we won't fret, we'll take a little time to pray. And while we are waiting, I thought that was the key. It says, and while we are waiting, and I'm waiting because I believe your word is so, I'm waiting because I believe what you said is going to happen, but there's something I should be doing while I'm waiting. Because if I just sit there and don't do anything, I'm going to think about, I'm still waiting, I'm still waiting. But the Holy Ghost inspired Pastor Clinton to write, while I'm waiting, while we're waiting, we will feed, F-E-E-D, upon your precious word. The Psalms, the Gospels, and the prophets, Paul's letters, and Proverbs. And when we see your perfect will in those old hallowed lines, we will obey each single word and complete your grand design. So he's telling us, Pastor Clinton, in that song is telling us, yes, God, what God says is true. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for the direction. You're going to have to wait for the next move. And while you're waiting, you keep feeding on his word. Waiting should not be a passive action. Waiting should be very active, very aggressive, very energetic. If, seeing you move around, what are you doing? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm reading the word. I'm doing what it says. I'm just feeding it all in, so I'll stay energized. While we're waiting, we will feed. Go to Joshua 1:8 quickly. Joshua 1:8, King James Version. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It did not say, then God will make your way prosperous. Then God will make you have good success. It says, if you meditate on the word day and night, observing to do everything it says, you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. See, as we're feeding on the word, as we're thinking about how we're going to apply it to whatever it is we're facing, the answer, the direction, is just going to come. And once it comes, then we know what we should do. And we make our way prosperous by doing what God told us while we were feeding on his word. If we're not feeding on his word, we're not going to get his word for the circumstance. We're not going to get his direction for what we're facing. We may get some direction, but it's going to be depending on what you're feeding on. If you're feeding on news media, whether you think it's real news or fake news, if that's what you're feeding on, that's the direction you're going to go. And that's not necessarily the direction that God has for you. But if that's what you're feeding on, that's where your answer is going to come from. But that scripture is telling us, when you meditate on God's word day and night with the purpose of doing what it says, the answers will come to you. You'll follow the answers, and you'll make your way prosperous. You will. It doesn't say God will make your way prosperous. It says you will make your way prosperous. It says you will have good success. See, before that, you had concerns. Before that, you had questions. Before that, you were waiting to hear from God. Then something happened, and you just knew what to do. What happened? Well, I think it's in Romans 8. First seven verses in the Passion Translation. We're going to get the flame on. Reads, Paul's telling the Romans, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent his Son in human form to identify with human weaknesses. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. So now, every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life through us. Now listen to this. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I think is a key point here. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities, for the mindset of the flesh is death. That's why when you just think about what's going on naturally in the world, you're just thinking doom and gloom, because the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit of God, well, the verse says, the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. And I thought it was interesting that it said it finds life and peace. How does it find life and peace? Because you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And guess where he's going to lead and guide you to? Where you can find life and peace. I think that people want, in it, living in this time right now, would desire some life and some peace. They desire life. They desire to enjoy life. They don't want to be cooped up in the home. They don't want to have to wear a face mask. They don't want to do all of those things. Well, we have to become spiritually minded and do those things controlled by the Spirit. Think about it this way. I think I'd be safe to say that everybody, what's that ivory soap, 99.99 pure. I think that number of people have a remote control for their television set or their video games, their video game systems. And as I was thinking about it, the television set doesn't decide what you're going to watch. The television set doesn't decide how loud the volume's going to be. The television set will do whatever that controller tells it to do. If it says change the channel, it's going to change the channel. And it's not going to just arbitrarily change. It's going to go to whatever channel the one that has the controller wants. Well, the scripture says that those motivated, a mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In that same way, the remote control is an outside entity that controls what's going, it's an outside entity that's controlling what's going on inside that television set. It's controlling the electronics in the television set. Whatever it is that makes the television set do what it does, it's being controlled by an outside entity that we call a remote control. Well, in the same way, we are controlled by the Holy Ghost, which is an outside, it's funny, it's an outside entity living in us. That it gives a direction as to what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Unlike the television, though, here's the only difference. The television doesn't have a choice. You tell it what to do or does it. People do. That's why we have to make a choice to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have to make a choice. The Holy Spirit will tell us what to do on our insides, and what we've agreed to and what we're feeling inside will show on the outside. But if we're not controlled by the Holy Ghost, we'll be carnally minded, and we know that that leads to death. It doesn't lead to life and peace. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 31, the King James Version, just to give a little more ammunition to the thought that when you live based on the Holy Ghost, you find life and peace. Verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The patient can wait. If you're patient, you can wait. And you'll never feel weary, because the Lord will always be renewing your strength. You'll soar above circumstances and you'll never become weary. And folks, this is where we need to be. As believers, this is where we should be striving to be. Yes, there's going to be stuff out there, but we said we'll mount up like wings of eagles. So we'll just soar over things. We won't be negatively affected by it. I think Paul, in his letter to Timothy, was also telling us how to get to that place where we're at a place of peace, a place of life, a place of rest, a place of power. Timothy was a young pastor, and he was the pastor of a megachurch. He was a megachurch in Ephesus. And if you think things are bad here, you ought to fall on your knees and thank God you weren't alive during that time. Timothy, as a pastor of a megachurch, had to deal with people that didn't like him because he was young, because of his age. Because Ephesus was such, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's such a paganistic city with their idols and worship, demon worship and all of this stuff. And you have this young minister going against it. And I'm sure that he got weary because he felt like he was all by himself. He's got this huge church, this huge congregation, and even some members of the church weren't in agreement with him. They thought, who's this young whippersnapper going to tell us what we should do? Well, first of all, he's anointed by God through the Apostle Paul to be the pastor. And he deserves their respect just because of that. And he was anointed by Paul under instructions of God. And he was given the fire of the Holy Ghost. But God knew. I know there are times when I'm going through things, there are times I may be hurting, and I don't tell anybody. I keep it to myself. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. But I do. And I'm sure a lot of folks do that, and I'm sure Timothy was doing that also. I believe he was afraid. I'll tell you why I say that in a few minutes. And I believe he was concerned about what was going on in Ephesus, and he was concerned about his effectiveness, and he was starting to doubt. But in 2 Timothy 1, starting with verse 1 in the Passion Translation, it says, from Paul, an apostle of Jesus the Messiah, appointed by God's pleasure to announce the wonderful promises of life found in Jesus, the anointed Messiah. That statement should blow you away. And the reason I say that is because Paul was writing that from prison. He was in jail, and he's in jail talking about the pleasure to announce the wonderful promise of life found in Jesus, the anointed Messiah. He said, my beloved son, I pray for a greater release of God's grace, love, and total well-being to flow into your life from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know that I've been called to serve the God of my fathers with a clean conscience. Night and day I pray for you, thanking God for your life. I know that you have wept for me, your spiritual father, and your tears are dear to me. I can't wait to see you again. Then he said, this is what he says. He's talking to Timothy, and he's there to encourage him. He said, I am filled with joy as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line. Now, Timothy didn't say, Paul, my faith is growing weak. No, Paul knew that via the Holy Ghost, so he's there to encourage Timothy. He told him, he said, I'm filled with joy as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line. It began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to your mother Eunice, and it's clear to me that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. So Paul is reminding Timothy that, he said, Timothy, there is a heritage of faith in your family. And you have it. You have it. It's also at the same time letting us know that people need godly examples. Just like Timothy needed his parents, and his mother and his grandmother, and other family members that were godly examples. He had the Apostle Paul, who was also a godly example. So he needs all of those things. He said that people need good examples. Just like Paul was there to help Timothy get, listen to this. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. Just like Paul was there to help Timothy get through the social pressures of his generation, the church is in place today to help this current generation get through those similar social pressures. Because you know what? They ain't going anyplace. They're always going to be there. We just need to know how to deal with them. That's all. We just need to know how to deal with them. People need godly examples. How do you be a godly example? Well, you keep the heritage of faith, for one. But now listen to this. 2 Peter 1, verse 6. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Paul, still talking to Timothy, says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He's telling Timothy, I'm putting you in remembrance now of something that I imparted to you. And I'm telling you to stir that up. Don't let it sit dormant. Stir it up. It's not enough to have all you need. It has to be stirred up. I mean, you think about it, if you want to get up in the morning, you get up in the morning and you want to have a smoothie, and you take the time, you clean all the fruit, you put it in the bowl. I'm not going to mention any fruit because you'll think it's a recipe and go home and try and say, Pastor Greg said, put this fruit together. But you put everything in the blender. But if you don't turn the blender on to stir it up, get it all stirred up and mixed together, you pour it in the glass, everything's going to lump all over the place. In order for it to be the benefit that you want it to be, in order for you to get out of it what you intended, you have to stir it up. You have to mix it up. In the Passion Translation, listen to the way it's put. I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to us when I laid hands upon you. Paul said, I am encouraging you, Timothy, to fan into a flame and rekindle. Rekindle, that means it had to already been kindled. That means that the fire was there, and it was a roaring fire, and something happened to it. Fires, if they're not properly fueled, they will burn out. But before they burn completely out, they burn down. And with the wood, we call them like embers. But if you start fanning them, guess what? They'll ignite into a flame again, and then you can light other things. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you're letting your fire go out. Timothy, you need to fan. You need to fan. You need to fan to let that fire reignite. Then you can light up everything else around you. He's saying, Timothy, flame on. That's what he's saying. Get your flame on. Fan that fire. Fan those embers. Fan what's smoldering, and let the fires, let the flames burst out. Let it just explode out. When Timothy was ordained, he was given all he needed. He was given that fire. But you know what I also found out? This isn't the first time. This isn't the first time one of God's children tried to keep their fire from showing. Look at Jeremiah 20. This is in the Amplified Classic Bible. Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah said, whenever I speak, I must cry out and complain. I shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has come to me a reproach and a derision, or diversion, and it has brought me insult all day long. So Jeremiah is saying, every time I try and say what God says, people mock me. And I'm getting tired of it. That's what he was saying. I'm getting tired of it. He said, if I say I'll not make mention of the Lord or speak any more in his name, in my mind and heart, It's as if there's a fire burning shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot contain it any longer. And just think about what Jeremiah just said. He said that I'm making a conscious effort to hold in the fire that God placed in me to speak his word and to tell people about him and to proclaim his name because of all the grief I get when I do it. But when I try to hold it in, when I say to myself, I'm not going to talk anymore about God, I'm tired of the humiliation, I'm tired of the disappointments, I'm tired of what I have to go through, he said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am getting worn out trying to hold it in. We think we're being worn out because of things that the devil is doing, and I'm finding out today we're being worn out because we're too using our strength trying to hold it in instead of letting it come out. We can't hold the fire of God in without wearing ourselves out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be wearied. They won't faint. But if you're not waiting, if you won't let it come out, you zap your own strength trying to hold in that fire. We get excited and say, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Do we realize what we're saying? Why are we getting excited about trying to keep the fire of God from exploding out of us and onto everything that's around us? That's why he gave it to us. We say, our God is an all-consuming fire. Well, so should his children be the same way. But just like Jeremiah realized, just like I say to myself, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk about God. I'm tired of being ridiculed. He said, it's like a fire, and I can't contain it. And I'm getting weary trying to contain it. He said, for I've heard many whisperings and defaming. There is terror on every side. Denounce him. Your people are saying, look at what you're going through. Denounce God. Let us denounce him. Say all my familiar friends, they who watch for my fall, perhaps he will be persuaded and deceived. Then we will prevail against him, and we will get our revenge on him. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty and terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not overcome me. They will be utterly put to shame, for they will not deal wisely or prosper in their schemes. Their eternal dishonor will have been forgotten. I like it in the Message Bible where Jeremiah realized, he said, I'm a public joke. They all joke at me. Every time I open my mouth, I'm shouting murder or rape. And all I get for my warnings are insults and contempt. But if I say, forget it, no more God messages from me. If I say, I'm not going to say anything else about the Lord. I'm not going to witness anymore. I'm not even going to think the name of Jesus, much less mention the name of Jesus. Jeremiah says, the words of fire in my belly are burning in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it any longer. He said, then I hear whispering behind my back. There goes old danger everywhere. Shut him up. Report him, watch. Old friends watch, hoping I'll fall flat on my face. One misstep and we'll have him. We'll get rid of him for good. But God, a most fierce warrior, is at my side. Those who are after me will be sent sprawling, slapstick buffoons falling all over themselves, a spectacle of humiliation no one will ever forget. So as I said earlier, Timothy wasn't the first person, wasn't the first of God's children to try and let the fire of the Holy Ghost in him burn out. We've all been guilty of that. Some of us are right present. But the truth is, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the fire. And you have to, and you, it shouldn't be shut up in your bones. It needs to be flame on and you get into action. But you're not going to get into action with flame off, because you need the fire of the Holy Ghost to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. So it has to be flame on. Say that to whoever you're with. Turn to them and say, flame on. Back to 2 Peter, verse 1, when Paul told Timothy, I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle a fire of the spiritual gift imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. I thought it was interesting because he said that for a reason. He was giving Timothy an answer to a problem that he was about to address with Timothy. But he gave him the answer. He gave him the solution first. He said, Timothy, stir up the gift. Rekindle the flame. Rekindle it. Fan those embers back into a flame. And then he said to him, for God will never give you the spirit of fear. Why do you think he said that? Because he knew Timothy was afraid of what he was facing. You have mature folks with congregations, you know, of 50 that are afraid. Can you imagine someone in, I think Timothy was somewhere between 19 and 22 or somewhere around that age, and he's a pastor of a church with over 5,000 people. You'd think he might have been a little afraid. But the first thing Paul wrote him from prison, Timothy, you got to fan the flames. You got to fan it. Let the fire come out. Let that fire come out. And then he tells him, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He was letting Timothy know that the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn up the fear that's trying to get in you, because that fear did not come from God. And the fire of the Holy Ghost is not going to burn up anything from God. It's going to energize every part of you. It's going to energize you to do everything God wants you to do. But anything that's not from God, it will burn up. And Paul wanted him to know. So he told him, so never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or be embarrassed over my imprisonment. Don't be ashamed when people throw in your face what happened to somebody who they thought nothing would ever happen to. Don't be ashamed of that. It has nothing to do with who God is at all. If anything, fan the fire and let your fire burn even hotter. We need to do like Nebuchadnezzar did. Let us become seven times hotter than we were before. He said, don't be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome every evil by the revelation of the power of God. See, when you see the fire of the Holy Ghost at work in you, the revelation of the power of God that resides in you comes forefront in your mind. And you start to realize, hey, wait a minute. I got the power of God flowing through me. Why am I putting up with this? I'm not putting up with it anymore. And then you start fanning the flames. You start feeding on the word. Because that's how you fan. There are two ways that God told me to share with you tonight about fanning the flame. One way is by feeding on the word. Constantly feeding on the word. As it says in there, meditate on the word day and night. The other way is by doing what you heard. Because faith without works is dead. The works are the kindling that keeps the fire going. If you don't have any works, you won't have any faith, and you won't be able to keep your fire going. So you feed on the word day and night, observing to do everything it says, and then you actually go out and do everything that it says. You're applying, you applied fuel, you applied work that gave life to your faith, and your faith took you through any obstacles that were in your way, you come out the victor. every single time you come out the victor. That's why it says overcome every evil by the word revealed to you from God, by the fire of God, about the power of God that was given to you by Jesus. That's what I was referencing when I told you about Luke 10:19. Did I give you power? Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. You have it. It was given to you by Christ. And you can come overcome every evil. Remember, he said physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy has. And nothing will by any means harm you. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I'm going to start to unhook. The key to this, folks, is because too often we become discouraged because we're waiting. Paul said, I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gifts of God imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. Because you have the fire, you can wait. As long as you keep the fire going, you can wait. You can be patient. Like I said earlier, it's your responsibility to fan your fire. It's my responsibility to fan my fire. What I'm doing now, I'm not fanning your fire. I'm telling you, your fire exists and you need to fan it. What you do with that is on you, not on me. It's on me if I don't fan my own fire and I let it be like a fire shut up in my bones. And it's not supposed to be shut up in my bones. It's supposed to be flame on. And everywhere I go, folks should see this ball of fire coming through. You don't have to call you the human torch. But it was Timothy's job to rekindle, reignite the fire of the Holy Ghost that was given to him, that he received when he was ordained. And Paul laid hands on him. He received it. When we got born again, when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, we received it. We received the fire of the Holy Ghost. We have to stop letting it be like a fire shut up in our bones. We have to stop letting it burn out or burn down. We have to keep fanning it and fanning it by meditating on the word day and night, feeding on the word while we're waiting for direction, reading the Psalms, the Gospels, the prophets, Paul's letters, Proverbs, reading them, obeying each single word. And if we do that, folks, I should say, when we do that, it'll always be flame on. And you'll find yourselves doing things that you never thought possible. But God knew it was possible, so he equipped us. He gave us everything we need. So stir up the gift that's in you. Keep those flames up at full power, and you'll be amazed. Don't even think about what people say. Think about what God said. Think about what the Holy Ghost is telling you, and let everything else that's not from God or of God burn up. That's all we got for tonight. That's all we got for tonight. No more fire shut up in your bones. Fire is out of your bones and at work in your life, in your neighborhood, in this world. That's what it's there for. It's not to be shut up in our bones. It's not to look good. You know, we just see, oh, it's so soothing, burning embers. Oh, no. You're the human torch. You're the human torch. But you're not part of the Fantastic Four. You're part of the family of God. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that what we have to solve all the issues of the day we were in danger of letting burn out. But now we know, each one of us, everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone that will listen to this at any other time will know it is their responsibility and not yours, God, but it's their responsibility individually to keep their spiritual fire burning by feeding on your word day and night, thinking about your word all the time, listening to your direction and doing everything you say, building up our confidence, giving us a greater revelation as to what our faith can accomplish. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, two things real quick. Like I said, you can't, in order for you to fan the flames, you have to get them. You have to be ignited by the Holy Ghost. And that means you need to receive, the two things you need to receive. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you can get them both right now. Because both, you have to do the same thing, whether it's to get born again or filled with the Holy Ghost, but you have to get born again first. If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart. That's the key to everything you receive as a believer. You say it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart. So why don't you make this confession after me? Father, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And then after 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I call you Lord, and I'm asking you to make something new of me. And I'm also asking you, Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because I want it all. And I thank you for that gift, and I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, folks, if you made that prayer, you just got born again. If you asked to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you did. All you have to do is just open your mouth. You'll hear this strange sounding noise come out of your mouth. It's okay. You're not speaking gibberish or baby talk. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. And what I'll ask you to do is, using the contact information you see on the screen, let us know, when I prayed that prayer, I got born again, I got filled with, or I got filled with the Holy Ghost, or both of them happened to me. Whatever the case is, contact us. We're going to send you some free information. If you got filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to send you a little booklet called Why Tongues, so you'll understand what happened to you. We're going to send you in him to let you know who you've become in Christ. We'll hook you up. You just contact us. And if you have any questions about tonight's message or any of the messages we've taught, just contact us. Just call us by the means on there. We may not get back to you the same day, but I promise you, we will get back to you.